Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
So we're watching something right now in real time. Air Force One has landed at LA. I guess it's LAX. Maybe it's a different airport, but it's in Los Angeles right now. And Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is waiting for the president at the bottom of the steps. And the question now is, how long will Trump make him wait? Because he hasn't stepped out of the airplane. But he was in, and I think this was a great, great move and the right one. They went to North Carolina first, and they talked to Hurricane Helene survivors and talked about their challenges. Now the president's going to meet with Gavin Newsom, talk about the California wildfires, which are still burning. That got some rain on the way this weekend, which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. And, hey, we'll have to see where the, you know, the meeting takes us, but I was watching Gavin Newsom last night, and I'm not going to say he was bending the knee, but he was being very careful about what he said. There's no doubt about that. We'll talk some music a little later this hour with our friend Tim Summer. We love Tim, and he wrote, this is a true story, he wrote this piece in the New York Times that I had seen, and I put it in my reading list on my iPad, and I didn't even know it was him that wrote it. And then he sent me a message that said, hey, check this out. I'm like, dude, I've already checked it out, but I didn't know you wrote it.
So that's awesome.
But it's about aging roadies, and it's really, really interesting. So that's coming up here in just a little bit. But we have to talk football also. And Sue, I don't know if I want you to be involved in this. Ethan, you know what I'm talking about.
She has been Bills.
Yeah, I don't really get it. Yeah. We'll talk about that, but we're going to talk as we head into the weekend here. I like Josh Allen as well. But Alex Gold is with us from Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio in KC. Alex, how are you? Happy Friday. Are you ready for this weekend?
What's going on, guys? Good to be back on. Yeah, I'm ready. You know, last week, it's hard to take divisional rounds seriously in Kansas City. That's how spoiled everybody has become. It's really all about these AFC title games and Super Bowls at this point.
So, handicap this one for us. We look, the Chiefs have not been an offensive powerhouse, but they seem to get it done. People are making, you know, note of the fact that, look, Josh Allen's probably had a far better year than Patrick Mahomes. They have a bit of an injury at safety, starting a rookie safety. How do you see the matchup?
So I'm with you on the quarterbacks, that I think both are going to play at a very high level. But you know what? The quarterbacks in these matchups in the playoffs have both played a high level for the prior three, in which Mahomes won all three. We went through the numbers today on our show a little bit with Josh Allen compared to Patrick Mahomes, and very, very similar in terms of the numbers. In fact, Patrick Mahomes has actually put up slightly better numbers than Josh Allen. Ooh. So I think it's going to be equaled by QB play, but ultimately it's going to come down to which defense is able to come up with that stop. And Kansas City did not have Charles Omenihu, one of their pass rushers, available back in Week 11 when Buffalo won. They did not have Jalen Watson, who's going to be their number two corner in this game back in Week 11. So I think Kansas City moves the ball, and they're going to be able to come up with that stop that they weren't able to come up with back in Week 11.
Well, let's hope so. I'm hoping, but let's address the issue of where people might be rooting in the state of Missouri. Jason Rosenbaum, who works for the government subsidized station here in St. Louis, and he's a really good political reporter, but I don't like his take on sports. He tweeted this the other day, and I rejected it, Alex. So he said, I hate to say it, Missouri, but probably everyone besides folks who live west of Boone County are going to root for the Bills next week. And I think that that's absolutely not true, because there's plenty of Chiefs fans here in the St. Louis area and certainly around the state. But there seems to be some Chiefs hatred that is built up here because of all the success, Alex.
No doubt. No doubt. You go outside of Kansas City, and I guess maybe outside of the St. Louis area as well, it's all about Buffalo Bills love at this point and hope. It's more about the Chiefs hate, and it goes back to ultimately just winning, right? People can claim you know, the officiating is rigged towards Kansas City and things like that. But we saw this play out in sports history before, whether it was the Patriots, whether it was, you know, the Miami Heat and Golden State Warriors in the NBA. I mean, we can go on and on and on. This is what happens when you win a lot. People get sick of you, and they can't fathom why a team is so dominant, so they have to come up with certain reasons why a team is able to win. And that's what we're seeing happen this week. We've kind of said embrace the hate is our kind of the mantra, or Chiefs derangement syndrome, as we call it. That has really caught on
like
across
that.
The country.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, for me, I take a lot of heat because I'm a Packers fan, and I'm a big Chiefs fan. And it was because I started going to Kansas City when I was in Columbia. I went to Mizzou. I started going to the games. There was no football team here. The Cardinals had left. I was never, ever, and I kept this quiet for a long time, forever. I was never a Rams fan. In fact, I hated the Rams when they were here. I really did. And I kept my mouth shut about it because I was a Chiefs and a Packers fan. But there are a lot of people in the state that glommed onto the Chiefs during that period, like me, when there was no professional football outside of Kansas City and Missouri.
Oh, no question. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think when you think about the track record of this franchise right now and where the fan base has grown, certainly during this latest run, but it was not that long ago. I would try to remind people outside of this area that, you know, this is not how it always was. I mean, I don't have to tell you even about
'90s,
yeah, where 80s and 90s, where they really struggled to fill the stadium, you know, and it was a problem. You know, Carl Peterson came in as the Chiefs general manager at the time, and he kind of turned everything around with Marty Schottenheimer. But then there was some lulls in 2011, 2012, when there were banners flying around the stadium for wanting Scott Pioli, the general manager at the time, fired. And then now they're at the top. So this is the prime golden era of sports in Kansas City. And certainly this is as good as it'll ever get for the Chiefs, frankly. I mean, I don't know if they end up winning another three rings or this is it. Whatever it is, this is as good as everybody's going to see in their lifetime.
Alex Gold is here with Kansas City 610 Sports Radio. There was a lot of criticism earlier in the year about Travis Kelce. He wasn't getting a lot of touches. He seemingly has had a lot of momentum working into these playoffs, hasn't he?
It's happened the last 2 years. The key is rest and being fresh at his age. Last year in Week 18, he did not play against the Chargers. This year, we all know he didn't play against the Broncos in Week 18 because Kansas City had everything wrapped up. And he's spoken about that at his age, you know, he the time off, from an early bye week in week 6 this year, he needed it. And that's why he had the game that he had against Houston. I also think the Texans, for whatever reason, decided not to really focus on him, and he was wide open throughout the game. I don't think that'll be the case against Buffalo. I think he'll still get his yardage, but he's going to have to work a heck of a lot harder. But this is a guy that turns it on in the playoffs, and he looked like a Hall of Fame tight end. Last week, he looked like a Hall of Fame tight end during the postseason run a year ago. He has 14 straight games, Mark, with over 70 yards receiving in the playoffs. That's the longest streak in NFL history.
Hey, Alex, Ethan Hannaford here. So I'm curious of what the overall thought is to where Patrick Mahomes is right now. It's back-to-back years now where the regular season offensive numbers weren't what they were the couple of years before that. Not that he has been bad, nowhere near that, but it hasn't been quite that same level. And to be quite frank, you know, people haven't been talking about him on the level of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson for some of these season award titles. But the last couple of years, he has figured out a way to get hot at the right time, get things done when it comes playoff time. So back to that original statement, where do not only Kansas City fans, but really just Kansas City media see Patrick Mahomes right now as far as just compared to other quarterbacks in the NFL?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, statistically, there's no question. He's not at the level this year as Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. And to your point, it's why he wasn't really ever in the MVP conversation. So that is very true. I think a couple things have happened. One, the national narrative around the Chiefs, we just got done talking about the kind of dislike for them. I think his job at winning an MVP award or having the national narrative is going to be tougher and tougher. It's why Andy Reid should win Coach of the Year, but he doesn't because he's expected to be great. Bill Belichick only won a couple Coach of the Years, even though he was obviously the best coach for 10-plus years or whatever in the league. So there's some of that. And then I also believe the offensive line play. You know, the offensive line play this year has been really problematic. It's forced him to be uncomfortable in the pocket, maybe a lack of trust. He kind of lost some of his footwork early on in the year. And then this back half of the season, he hasn't turned the ball over, and that's why I think now people – have plenty of faith and confidence in where he's at. Since that Bills game in Week 11, he hasn't thrown an interception. And in these games, in these moments, nobody has been able to step up better than him over the last 5 to 7 years. Josh Allen's 0-for-3. We all know Joe Burrow and Tom Brady are the only two quarterbacks that have beat Mahomes in the postseason. And the earliest exit for Mahomes in the postseason is an overtime game in the AFC title game. So, you know, a lot of the statistical stuff in the regular season, people around here kind of throw out because they know come playoff time, you're going to get the best Patrick Mahomes performance.
Well, I want to flip it to the defense here and my Mizzou connection because, man, Nick Bolton is having a year, and this defense has been really important in stepping up at the right times, and I think they can do it again this weekend.
This is a defensive team. I guess that goes with the question from before, too. I mean, this is more of a defensive team. That's not what we probably had said prior years, but it is definitely more of a defensive-led football team, even if you trust Patrick Mahomes to go make the play when you got to have it. But that's really where the last 2 years, they've leaned on the defense. Steve Spagnuolo is an underrated defensive coordinator still somehow in this league. I know he got a couple interviews this coaching cycle for a head coaching gig. I don't think he's going to get that, especially now that Pete Carroll filled the Raiders gig today.
Yeah.
But Nick Bolton is one of those anchors. Unfortunately, I do think there's a chance this is the last go for Nick Bolton in a Chiefs uniform just based off of positional value and where they got to allocate some of their money for some more premium positions. But he's crucial. He's going to be crucial in this game. I think this linebacking core against Josh Allen in particular, his running ability. Leo Chanel, the other linebacker, I think is where that comes in. But this defense is just better positioned than they were 6 weeks ago because of Charles Omenihu and Jalen Watson. You know, and why does that matter? Well, Chris Jones is going to get double teamed every single time, so you got to have somebody else that can win one on one. I think Charles Omenihu can do that, and then Jalen Watson is more of a physical corner than Trent McDuffie, who's an All Pro, and they didn't have Watson against the Bills the first go around. So now they've kind of got this whole group. They're as healthy as a playoff team could ever be. I went back and looked. I think it's 19 of 22. Players that started week one are available for this game, and the only reason why it's not more, one of them is a left tackle in Kingsley Suamataia, who they don't, you know, who they don't want to start, and they upgraded actually with Joe Tooney. The other one is Rashee Rice, who we know has been out. Other than that, they basically have the exact same unit that started the season. That just doesn't happen. So they're as fresh as you could possibly be, which I think bodes very well for them Sunday night.
And how does that compare to the, you know, I mentioned the safety for the Bills, but the offensive line for the Bills or even the defensive line, are they dinged up or are they coming in pretty healthy overall?
So Deion Dawkins, their offensive lineman in Buffalo, was a little banged up, but it looks like he's going to be good to go. That is a huge strength for Buffalo, if we're going through and say, hey, where do they have the edge? I mean, the Buffalo Bills offensive line is one of the best units in football. It's definitely an upgrade from what the Chiefs just faced against the Houston Texans. But on the defensive side, it's a different story. You know, you mentioned Rapp, the safety is going to be out. Bernard, one of their top corners, is still in concussion protocol, although I think by Sunday, my guess would be he's going to play. And then Matt Milano, one of their best linebackers, or the best linebacker, who's going to be matched up with Travis Kelce. He's dealing with a hamstring soreness, I believe is what they're officially calling it there. So there's no question they've got some more injuries to deal with. And it's also not the same defense, I think, in some of these other Chiefs-Bills matchups. This is the fourth playoff go, and this is the worst defense the Bills have brought to the party. And that's a big reason why I think, despite all the talk about Josh Allen, and he has been terrific, you know, he's been terrific in the other three matchups. It's so, you know, I don't think it's so much that. It's got to be somebody else that beats them, whether it's a James Cook the running back for Buffalo, or that the Chiefs offensively flat out just don't have something going and they make mistakes. The Chiefs had two turnovers in the first matchup. And that's something that if they do that again, they'll be losing to Buffalo for the first time in the playoffs.
Alex, I got to take you to the other game because, look, we had four phenomenal NFL playoff games last week. And I have been loving Jaden Daniels before the season even started. Drafted him in my fantasy football league. He ended up being my starter, bringing me to a championship. But he's so much fun to watch. And this Commanders team is for real. You got Jalen Hurts a little banged up with a knee, maybe wearing a brace. The Commanders have a shot here, don't they?
They absolutely have a shot. I mean, how can you count them out at this point after winning on the road at Detroit against what most people considered was the best team all year? And this Philadelphia team, what, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, 4 weeks ago at this point, went to Philadelphia and got a win on the final play from scrimmage. So they just beat this Eagles team. And I think the point about Jalen Hurts is the key here. I don't think he looks right. And he's been dealing with some concussion stuff. He has not been all that effective. Ultimately, I do think Saquon Barkley is going to have a huge day against the Commanders, though, and this is a Washington defense that's not good, and I know they beat a Lions team that's got a great offense, but Goff had four turnovers. I don't think Jalen Hurts will even have the opportunity to have four turnovers in this game because of the running attack from Barkley. So ultimately, I think Washington loses, but it would not surprise me one bit if this thing is close. Jaden Daniels has proven he's going to be one of those special quarterbacks that just kind of has it, that, you know, has put together the best rookie season we've ever seen because of two road playoff wins. So the Commanders, I don't think they get blown out, but I don't think they have an answer for Barkley, and frankly, who does?
Well, nobody does. I mean, he doesn't just get like 3-4 yards. He's like, oh, there's another 60-yard, 68-yard touchdown. It was awesome. Did you see like when he ran for that, busted out for that big one last week, right when he basically got around the first turn, Jalen had his hands up and was like, touchdown. He knew it right away.
Absolutely. You said it. He can be bottled down for a quarter, and all of a sudden you're like, man, he only has like 30 or 40 yards rushing. And then 160-plus yard run, he pops off, and next thing you know, he's over 100. That's why he had over 2,000 yards rushing this year.
Alex, thank you so much. Fun talking NFL football. We'll see what happens this weekend. Let's go, Chiefs!
Absolutely. Right. Go Chiefs. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.